are listening to the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello, welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. And we are broadcasting live out of the globalist occupied country formerly known as Canada, now known as whatever the hell they want it to be called. And we're here with Michael, Mark, and Daniel.
Trudeau. That was a wee day chant, actually.
Oh,
it's a new nation, Trudeau.
The Trudeau nation.
Yeah, but then Trudeau starts in the clip. He starts going, Canada, during the chant. So.
Well, I mean, this is Canada. I mean, we have clips of him talking about how he doesn't believe in Canada as a country, and how we don't need borders. And this is from a couple of years ago. But, you know, so it's kind of hard for me to believe in his national patriotism isn't just a fraud and a mask.
Yeah, well, we'll find out after all the international summits, because he's arrived in Turkey today.
So our Prime Minister Trudeau has gone to Turkey for the G20 summit?
Yeah, that's the word. So that's a lot of nations, too, involved.
Turkey, home of ISIS. Largest exporter of ISIS, Turkey.
Yeah, it's in a hotbed. That's why it's a hardcore trip. And then the Paris summit, too, for the United Nations Environment Scan is going to be in Paris, right? They just had the attack. Yeah.
But it's funny, guys, with these attacks, funny how it happened on the Friday the 13th. Is that a coincidence?
Yeah, well, it's like a coinciding event to like the original Friday the 13th, 708 years ago, I think, or so, roughly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is in the 1300s when the Knights Templar was taken.
Is ISIS superstitious? Probably.
Yeah, or it's being orchestrated, because that was basically the order is like to capture or kill all the Knights Templar and take all their loot, too. That was the thing, because they had to amass a lot of treasure, the Templar. So the similarities could be in that, I guess, the same day, and the way the city was locked down was probably similar, because the whole Paris would have to have been locked down back then to find all the Templars.
So are they trying to still find the Templars even today?
Yeah, well, a lot of them are hiding in plain sight. Because there's even the Knights Templar cartel down in Mexico, where they're like a famous cartel.
Right.
They're in the documentary Cartel Land. It's like the best villain to have for a documentary is the Knights Templar, because you see what they do in Mexico and stuff.
So anyways, I guess the breaking news that we've had there was the terrorist attacks in Paris. Some apparent bombings and shootings is what appears to be happening there. Now, there's some reports that claim that ISIS claims responsibility for it. Some are just saying that they are applauding what happened there. So I don't know, you know, who exactly did it. It looks like to be, you know, some Islamic extremists or radical, you know, Al-Qaeda guys, who knows. There's people saying it's a false flag, and you know, depending on, you know, your definition of false flag, I guess it could definitely be, especially if it is ISIS, Al-Qaeda, a.k.a. the NATO's proxy army, you know? Not sure.
Yeah, well, even for me, I was very suspicious right as it happened, and, you know, I have my own theories, this type of thing, but, you know, as far as I have seen so far, I haven't seen any dead or any wounded people or anything like that, so I don't really know. Because in the stadiums, they usually have firecrackers and things going off anyway, and you see a whole bunch of people gathering in the middle of the playing field, which they do on a normal basis, everybody crowding onto the playing field after a soccer game or a football game, if that matter. So it doesn't look, just looking at all those people, it looked like they weren't in any panic mode that I could see.
Some of them might not have known, though, that it happened.
Yeah.
They didn't announce it in the stadium, and they didn't stop the game, which is weird.
Yeah, because I heard some kind of explosion, a couple of them there, but the game still continued.
Yeah, well, they claim that if it happened in the stadium, but maybe it was near the stadium or something. Hmm. It's still even happening near the stadium, you'd think they would stop the game.
Of course, because they weren't targeted, that's why. You know, these false flags, when they do them, they target a certain building or area, and that's it. They don't go for bystanders who are milling about, so that's the same way in the stadium there. Just like George W. Bush on 9/11, he wasn't whisked away from the school, so it's the same thing.
Well, I mean, when I say false flag, I don't mean, you know, crisis actors and a staged fake attack. I mean a false flag where there's a real attack, but it's a flag of a different enemy, so it's not the person you think it is.
Uh-huh. There was a coincidence the day before. They actually had in the front of the paper, Toronto Star, front page was a picture of a bunch of, like, Israeli special forces dressed as, like, Palestinians, I guess, dressed in Arab garb. Some of them even had the full niqab, like, as if they're a woman. they're storming a hospital, so it was just a weird coincidence, right?
Where I'm going with this is, even if it's actually ISIS, ISIL, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, any of these operatives, even if it was them that carried out actual attacks and you know, killed all these people that are reported to be killed, over 150 people are reported to have been killed in this attack in Paris, and say that that actually happens, it's still technically, that's what I mean by it's a false flag. Who funded al-Qaeda, al-Nusra, ISIL, who armed them, who gave them weapons, who's been training them? The NATO allies. Not just, you know, I'm not just going to say the CIA or MI5, like it's, everyone seems to have a role in this. So even if they attacked, it's like still some type of false flag. It's like our own people that we armed attacked Paris? How does that make sense? Now, yes, of course, it could be a staged type of false flag. You know, I'm not sure. I don't know all the details. But at this point, because it happened in so many different areas, it looks to be like there was a real attack, a bona fide attack that went on.
But how come you haven't secured your borders? How come you're securing your borders after the fact? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you recall in previous shows, we talked about this before. No. You know, I had recommended not bombing the crap of the Middle East in the first place. And then they went ahead and did it anyway. And then it caused this migrant crisis, right? And all these migrants were fleeing to all these other countries. Because why? Their place was getting the hell bombed out of them. And like I said, I'm like, well, some of these ISIS rebel guys, if they're in the mix, they're going to slide on through. either to attack us or just to get away from the bombs, but once they're in our countries, who's to stop them from retaliating? You know, you don't bomb the crap out of some country and then let all their fleeing immigrants into your country. The one that attacked them, they're going to retaliate. And, you know, I said this over and over, don't let these people in your country. Not because I'm racist, you know, because it's just a thing, you know. If they came and blew the crap out of Canada and tried to take us to a refugee camp in their country, I would probably attack them within their own country. Why shouldn't I? You know, it's just regular psychology.
So basically all of France has been shut down, and it's martial law and a police state in the mix as well. And that's what
France do. They let them in. They open their borders and they let all these migrants in to be tolerant and to be humanitarian. And then what happened? Just like we said would happen, you had an attack within their border. And this could now happen anywhere. And now what recently happened before this, you had one of the United States aircraft carriers leaving the region, and a French aircraft carrier took over its role. Does that have something to do with it? Hard to say, but, you know. It's the only aircraft carrier in the region that I know of on the NATO ally side that's in the region. So you had the one U.S. one, and it left, and a French one came in to take over. And so that could be part of the reason why France got it. It could just be that that's where they had the most operatives, you know.
And then they flooded these refugees are coming into Canada no matter what happens.
Well, they want 25,000 by the end of the year.
Exactly.
6 weeks.
And I just have that inkling feeling that something can happen here.
So a few thousand a week would have to be arriving. But that's the thing, is that if France can be, you know, if they can blame it on the migrants, then, the public sentiment might be against them. So you could just send them to Canada, and that way the government could say, you know, they're not coming to France.
I think sending ISIS through these countries is part of the agenda. I don't think they just slip through because, I see an opening. No, I think they were allowed to go through.
Yeah,
of course.
This is all part of the plan.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is why we don't want them here, because it's part of the plan to destabilize our own countries and to have attacks go on. And again, it could be a staged event. You could have agents directly orchestrating these terrorist attacks, but at the same time, there's still that risk that these are, you know, bona fide jihadist Islamic attacks, and it's still, they're funded and armed by our guys.
Mm-hmm. No matter which way it is.
If it's not, if they weren't today, they were yesterday, you know, that type of thing.
It is surprising, too, that it's so long between this and the Charlie Hebdo, but I guess it's not that long. It's only like a year, right? When was that? Just Sweet Charlie.
Yeah, I don't recall exactly when that was, and even that, when it came to that whole event, I didn't look heavily into it. I just kind of gathered it had to do with some cartoonists and drawing stuff that of Muhammad or something.
Yeah, the other difference between that one and this one is this one they say that all the guys were strapped with like self-detonating explosives, like they're all suicide bombers.
Yeah, so, like, see, there's the thing. You guys make a good point. I'm going to take it, because I don't have the information, I'm going to take it from the mainstream media with what information they're giving me and pretend everything's legit and it's all a bona fide attack. But, you know, until we see evidence, it's hard to know if this is fake and staged or just it's a real attack but staged by people, you know, the people you didn't think it was staged by.
Yeah, well, the attack could be real because of the automatic weapons in the open crowd. That's the scary part, how rapidly these guns work.
Here's what you do, France, and here's what you do, Canada, and all the NATO allies. Stop funding ISIS and giving them weapons and Toyota trucks. Stop it. And then shut your borders. Shut your goddamn borders, idiots. But it's... They're not idiots. This is all done on purpose, like you guys said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the general public can't fathom that the government would be that sick and twisted to do this.
Well, shouldn't also the president of France resign?
Because
didn't the president of Romania resign just for a bunch of people suffocated in a nightclub or there's a big fire?
Yeah.
And this is like, this is a more horrific thing. So the president of France should resign. He's just watching football and stuff. Probably working on whatever scam they're going to do at the G20.
Well, I would say he should resign. If he was for letting all these people in, he should resign. Yeah. If he wasn't, I don't know his position, but I have a feeling he was for it. But if he was against letting all these migrants from Syria in, then he, you know, it wasn't his fault, I guess. But, you know, if he was for it, he should resign. And Justin Trudeau, our new prime minister, he's totally for it. Let them all in, let them all in.
Yeah, that's true. The Europe, though, is harder to tell just because it's an EU decision, really. It's like the countries are being forced to take them. So even if a politician stood against it, they could just say, oh, well, we're forced to. But,
yeah,
of course.
And, yeah, the Just Sweet Charlie was last January, January 7th, so it's like 10 months ago.
Well, here's the thing. If there's actual video evidence of the suicide belt bombers or whatever they are reported to be actually blowing themselves up, then, you know, it's pretty hard to say that they're going to get some double CIA or MI5 or Mossad agent to blow themselves up. They're not going to get.
No, so that they could get a patsy like under mind control, maybe.
Well, yeah, or just a radical Islamic jihadist, like ISIS or ISIL. Any of their dummy foot soldiers, they're brainwashed radical morons. They're religious zealots, right? That's how they don't need the program. See, most
of
them don't.
Well, a lot of them are on drugs, so they do admit that.
Yeah, but most of them don't understand that they're just a proxy army for NATO. They don't even get it. They just run around chopping people's heads off. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing I've seen in France so far today in videos is people, bystanders from across the road filming it, but not from a news source. And all that I could see that it was just dark there, and the police and SWAT teams coming in, and then you hear some shootings going off there, and regular, you know, citizens going about in their cars and walking around as well. It seemed pretty controlled over in the one area, pretty much. And you could see ambulances, a couple of ambulances supposedly taking people away into the ambulance. That's basically what all I've seen in the video so far.
Yeah, there's no videos of the actual attacks yet. Which is surprising because ISIS is like a propaganda thing. They're all over social media. They're like on Twitter. And
yeah, I've looked at some of the video, even on the mainstream news, and haven't seen any really any wounded or anything like that. There's no blood around, or I don't see any of that stuff yet. So until I do, then we'll just take
there,
it.
I did see a few of those on CBC. It looked like it was in front of a restaurant.
Right, yeah.
And picture of all the bodies, so that one was scary.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to have a problem believing evidence one way or the other unless I see the video of some of the attack on, you know, footage of it. Now, I'm not saying these attacks occurred in multiple places. Now, somewhere at one of these locations, somebody must have got some video of what was happening. Right, you know, during or before or after the attack, there's got to be some video that people can review. Otherwise, how do you know who did what?
Well, I wonder about the band, too, because there's a big concert going on.
If somebody strapped a bomb onto themselves and walked into a place, does somebody not have any footage of this somewhere?
Well, no, they should have near the stadium, because all the stadiums are full of CCTV.
Yeah,
more or less they were turned off.
Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah, because there's a possibility that they knew exactly what was going on before it even happened.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to do that. If I was doing that, I would, know beforehand what's going on and let her keep our borders open and let this happen. Sure, quite a possibility.
Well, do you think they can move the environment talks now from Paris to somewhere else, or do you think they'll still be there?
I think it'll still be there.
Ah.
No, I think so, because I
under,
don't...
Under martial law, though, probably.
Yes.
Yeah, then it can go.
Oh, I believe so, yeah. Sure, why not?
Well, all our puppet globalist leaders, they'll all be down at the G20 and the climate talks, and they can stage their own deaths, so pretend that ISIS killed them, and then they'll go hide in their underground bunkers and let ISIS take over.
Yeah, then they'll blame it on global warming.
Stop us from global... I don't know.
Global warming killed us.
Yeah, and climate refugees.
The car that runs on sleazeball liar politicians. It's like a biofuel. Criminal politicians.
Well, like I said, it was dark at that time in France, so very hard to see anything from anybody. So.
But we'll know eventually what's going to happen when people start putting up all their videos and stuff like that, unless they were stopped by authorities and say, you cannot film here, you're not allowed here, you have to give up your
during a concert, though, you'd think there'd be people filming.
Yeah,
unless it was like just a cover band, because that's, I think the band was called the Eagles of Death Metal, which seems like it's an Eagles cover band, but I'm not sure. In heavy metal format, but maybe not.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that. But
they haven't shown any pictures of them. But then it did say, one of the recounting was that they ran into the theater and, like, ran to the stage where the band was. But then another thing said the band got away, so I don't know. They haven't even interviewed them, which I'm surprised. I guess they don't want to make them famous because of this, but... But basically all concerts is people filming.
So what's with this, guys? The new defense minister of Kanatistan that Justin Trudeau appointed. What is he, Indian or something? He's got the big turban.
Sikh.
He's a Sikh. So he looks like ISIS's cousin or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, we could have negotiated with ISIS.
Negotiated. It's ridiculous.
Well, they do negotiate with them.
Come on. Yeah. They control them, not negotiate with them.
You negotiate. We sit here and cut off heads. I don't know
either. Well, actually, I want to give a shout out to a nice lady, beautiful lady in the Philippines there. Her name is Janet. I want to welcome Janet to our listening audience. Janet. How are you? We'll talk soon. Okay. Yeah. So I just don't want anybody to jump the gun on what's happening in France and believe everything the mainstream media says, because you know it's usually spin and propaganda, and that's what they tend to do. Do your own research, and you'll find what really happened. And there's more to come with that, and we'll really actually find out if it is a false flag or not. But it's sort of leaning towards that, so we'll leave it at that for now, and we'll see what we come up with.
Because the mainstream media is saying, Islam took the blame for the attacks, you know? So it's going right in the same area again, you know, as all these false flags do.
Exactly, yeah. So, like I said, do your own research, and you'll be surprised at what you come up with. And don't just jump to conclusions until you find out all the evidence first.
So apparently Justin Trudeau claims he's pulling the F-18s out of Syria.
What is he going to replace them with?
I don't know, but I think we've got six of them over there. So Canada's big six planes, they're F-18s. We call them CF-18s. I don't know why, because they're Canadian. But they're it's an F-18 is what it is. We got six of them over there. Justin gets elected, and before his swearing in, I believe it was, is when he said he was going to bring our planes back. And then, so anyways, he's been sworn in, and we still have yet to heard when, like a date when they're coming back. I don't know when. It's like, you know, when Obama ended the Iraq War, or when Obama closed Guantanamo Bay, and then he said he's going to close it again.
Yeah.
For real this time. Just vote for me.
Oh, give me a break.
So when Canada and its allies feel that it's responsible or something to do so, Trudeau will bring the planes back. So I guess whenever the allies, whenever NATO says we can, we will. But we'll bring them home someday, maybe in a year or two or five or ten.
Why would he say he would bring them home? What's he going to do with them here?
Oh, I don't know, nothing.
No, well, they could patrol the Arctic.
Yeah, for what?
Russians.
For melting ice or what?
Polar bears. Yeah. Invasion of polar bears.
ice is in the polar bear.
Polar unit, yeah. The polar unit.
Polar bear drones, okay. That's good.
Polar bear numbers are so high that a lot of the bases in the north that have polar bears in the regions are asking for newer guns. Because of the number of polar bears. There's your global warming for you, because old World War II guns are full-action, single-shot, and you need to care about them now.
We will be back after these messages. Time for a commercial, and see you right back.
Angry Beaver Radio. BlueFrequencyRadio.com.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like Strange World with Mark Sargent, Jaronism Raw with Jaron and Mizza, Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo, The Kev Baker Show, X-Squared with Brooks Agnew, Freaky Friday with The Woo Crew, Perceptions Talk Radio with Jonathan, The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph, Phoenix Rising Radio, and dozens more. Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. Or call in to your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
Coral Bay Domain is an exclusive community for people with an environmental consciousness and self-sustaining spirit. It will be the Caribbean's first totally green and off-the-grid residential development. This development showcases doing more with less and energy freedom. The community is located in Coral Bay on the island of St. John in the Virgin Islands. It will consist of 16 residential units in 8 duplexes. Each unit is a geodesic dome with electricity supplied by a vertical wind generator for each unit and a shared solar array. Please visit www.domain-coralbay.com. Bigglobalist-LLC.com for more information.
Agent for Truth with Joe Bannister. Saturday on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing and put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders, bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit? Because if we torture him, General, we do that and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Hello, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, and we're here live. We've got Michael, Mark, and Daniel online, and we're up here in good old Canada. And what do we've got? We've got the climate talks coming up. The what they call it, the France climate talks, or the what are they calling it this time?
Some kind of Paris summit.
Paris summit. Okay, they always come up with a different name for it every year, but it's the same nonsense and try to ram more regulations down your throat and get you to sign on to, you know, economic suicidal regulations and taxes on yourself. Self-imposed, right? None of it's actual law yet. But we've been committing voluntary economic suicide for a good decade now in Canada over this nonsense. Self-imposed carbon taxes, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's like COP 21. They call it COP 21.
COP 21. Now we were there. When was that big one? The COP 17.
This is the 21st Conference of the Parties. COP. Conference of Parties.
Yeah. So COP 21, and it's all in line with Agenda 21. So that must be significant to them, right?
Yeah.
But so there we go, and we've got Montreal. And we've mentioned this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Montreal, Quebec in Canada is Quebec now is they've adopted the Agenda 21 platform to the point where they have laid out a timeline going back to the Club of Rome and the limits to growth and the Grow Harlem Brundtland report and into Agenda 21. So they go back like a good 30 years before Agenda 21 and how they got there, and they're not shy about admitting that's what they've implemented, and it's fully implemented there in Quebec. So Montreal is this super sustainable city, you know, like Rio there, and and so now they're getting a new sewage treatment plant, but so now they've got some sewage. They don't know where to put it right now. I guess they've had some planning issues going on, so they're just going to pump it directly into the street.
They just started last week.
Yeah, right into the St. Lawrence River. So they're going to pump 80,000 liters of poo and pee and tampons or whatever into the St. Lawrence River, and have told people, you know, don't go near the river, don't go in the river, don't touch the river, all this other stuff. Now, I don't know if the American communities on their side have been told the same thing, but there's a whole lot of poo coming your way, folks. And Daniel, do you know when are they dropping? When does the turd drop in the punch bowl?
It did.
It did.
It's already started. You can find footage down there. They're filming it in 4K.
Filming it right now. There's turds going right into the St. Lawrence, folks. Agenda 21. It's sustainable. We got to save the planet. We got to clean up this ecosystem. Poop in the water. Everybody.
Yeah. I want to see my poop in HD, I can tell you.
In HD.
It's anything that gets flushed down the toilet, too. That's why they've got, you can see condoms and stuff in the video and the medical waste too, I guess, gets sorted in there and stuff.
Yeah, medical waste. I mean, it's just not good all the way around. Yeah, it will dissipate. You know, it's not as bad as I guess some things, but it's pretty bad. You don't want to go in the water or near the water, and most likely somebody somewhere is going to go in it or near it and touch it and get sick.
It's 8 billion liters. That's what they are okayed. I think I said 8 billion tons last week. I was a little bit off, but it's 8 billion liters.
Yeah, there's somebody somewhere that didn't get the memo, okay? You know this. Everyone knows this. It's, you know, common knowledge isn't always common. So they could put it out on every news channel warning everybody, and there's somebody that they didn't watch TV. They didn't listen to the news channel. They were busy. And then they go, oh, it's the weekend. I'm going to go down to the lake or the river, play in the poo. Well, they don't know there's poo in there. Nobody told them. So somebody's going to get sick over it. It's just ridiculous. And for this to be, you know, right out of the Agenda 21-ville, they're just spewing poop into the thing. And they try to defend it and say it's okay. Well, they're like, they defend it by saying, well, we're putting in a $100 million sewage treatment plant. Well, after you dump like a whole city's worth of poo into the river, now you put one in. It's why can't you build the new one beside it and then route the pipes into the new one?
Yeah, and Trudeau's supposed to be from Montreal. You notice he's absent on this, even though he's supposed to be the environmental prime minister.
No, and I'm going to give everybody here, not just Montrealers, everybody here who's listening, because we got an international audience, a lot of Americans, and this goes to old towns and cities that have a sewage treatment system. A lot of these old towns and cities are well over 100 years old. They're getting new sewage treatment systems, right? Spending hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes $1 billion on one of these things. And here's the kicker. Most of these old towns and cities, all their sewage pipes are leaking into the ground. And most of them, it's estimated that, you know, give an average, about 5% of the actual poo and pee even gets to the plant. I'm talking New York. I'm talking Chicago. I'm talking Detroit. All these old-time cities, Toronto, you know, you name it. Sure, go ahead and spend money on the new treatment plant, but you didn't change all your pipes, and all your pipes are broken and pulled apart, and most of the sewage is leaking into the ground on the way to the plant and never gets to the plant. So that's another issue. Is that why Lake Erie is turned into a giant green algae bloom? I don't know. Could just be from the farmers, but at the same time, we do have. My point is the money spent on these treatment plants is a waste if you don't change the pipes as well. It's a total waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending all this money on these, and they're going up everywhere. I'm hearing this in all different localities. They're spending exorbitant amount of money on these treatment plants, which I would support if it wasn't for that I know what condition these pipes are in. How do I know? Like, we've dug in the ground. We fix pipes. We do plumbing. We do residential. We know what condition these pipes are in, and this is a problem everywhere.
Yeah, Toronto's the lead pipes.
Right.
Everywhere.
So that's the issue. Is under the ground, there are cracks. There are places where the pipe has pulled apart 6 inches, a foot. I mean, like, how does it's not getting to the plant? So go ahead and put a shiny new plant down there to treat the 5% that actually gets there. It's a waste of money. You're peeing into the wind. Or you might as well just flush. Yeah, you might as well just flush the other 5% into the St. Lawrence, I guess. No, what I would recommend is you fix the infrastructure and the treatment plant. Just a treatment plant isn't enough. And merely just pumping it directly into the St. Lawrence is ridiculous, especially when you claim to be environmentalists.
Yeah, they got coverage of it on MohawkNationNews.com because one of the sides of the Montreal Island across from the island is one of the Mohawk reserves, Native Reserve, and it's like one of the sides of the bridge, the main bridge off the island goes into the
So that's their land.
So they had blockaded it a few times as in protest, and as well as one of the rail lines goes through.
So they
blockaded that a bit. That's the only protest I've seen against.
So they've got some property right on the bank of the river, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so and anyone with property on the bank of the river on the American side or the Canadian side should be up in arms about them flushing all the turds down the river.
Mm-hmm.
And all it's going to do is it's going to go down the river and out into the ocean, but on its way there, it's going to hit the shores and get up onto the shores too.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where you know, the stuff that makes it out into the ocean, that'll dissipate and that'll be fine eventually. But the stuff on the shores, that's going to be gross for a little bit of time now.
Yeah,
it'll eventually
think
be
the wildlife, like the ducks and the fish and stuff, would be in trouble.
Well, here's the thing: it's not like they're spraying toxic Corexit all over the place, but it's still pretty nasty. It's yeah. Nasty, okay.
Yeah, isn't that a suppressant though? That could keep it down if it's starting to surface.
Well, no, the Corexit pretty much kills all this. Like, it's toxic, right? Whereas this is, it is toxic, but not at the same level. And say, like, the stuff that hits the beaches and spreads all over the shore and the beach, eventually the sun will come out at some point. Maybe it won't be till next spring or so, and it'll heat up enough that it'll kill it, any bacteria or anything that's out there. I mean, you figure they normally spray this stuff all over our food crops, people. Let's get this straight. The stuff they're pumping into the St. Lawrence, they normally collect it, and they spray it all over the food crops. That's what they do in Holland Landing. They're spraying it with our own fecal matter. So, I don't know. That's a practice that seems a little weird. That's a whole nother subject, though.
Yeah. Not to mention the turd sandwiches. There's apparently a guy working on it in Japan, but...
Yeah, but I'm scared. Is that for real, or is that satire? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a hoax.
It could be. I don't know. It's too weird. Like, it's one of those things where I could believe they'll do it, but I don't believe they'd come out and admit it.
Yeah.
I believe they'd do it behind our backs kind of thing.
Be marketed.
Yeah. I don't think they'd come out and, you know, turd burger. No, they try to pass it off as, like, real something. It's the same with this bug protein stuff, okay? Like, I'm telling you, they're not going to tell us. They're going to start slipping it into the burgers or something. They'll mix it with the meat. You know, you'll get like a 60% meat, 40% bug protein or something. They'll mix it around. And they found this, I don't know if you guys heard, because you guys are into this, some of you guys are into the vegetarian stuff. Some of the vegan meats have been tested, and they found real meat in them. So that was a weird one. So beware the processed vegan meat knockoffs, because some of those, I'm not saying all of them, but some of them could actually contain meat, and they don't claim to, but they've been tested and some of them do. So I know there's a lot of people that go vegan and they buy all the veggie burgers and the veggie dogs and that. And that's what we're saying is you don't know what you're getting with those either.
Yeah, I've heard something a few years ago about those.
And it's the same with the regular burgers and the regular dogs. You don't know what you're getting. You know, maybe it's beef, maybe it's pork, maybe it's, who knows what it is.
Yeah, but John, it says on the box 100% pure beef.
Maybe somebody who owed the bookie too much money fell into the hot dog vat. I don't know. I don't know. But they found human DNA in some of these tests too, in the veggie and the regular hot dogs. So what's up with that? Is that just somebody's fingernails or hair follicles going in there, or does somebody get owed the bookie too much money and ended up in the hot dogs? I don't know. Who knows?
Well, A&W, they have veggie burgers over there.
And yeah, I've had them.
But what's in them? Have you had them tested to make sure there isn't any meat in them? I'm not saying there is or isn't. I don't know. All I'm saying is some veggie burgers have been tested and come back with meat in them. So that means they're not actual veggie burgers.
Well, next time I go to A&W, I'm going to ask them about their veggie burgers.
Yeah, but asking them is not going to get you any more answers. The only way you're going to get more answers is if you take their veggie burger and you go get somebody to test it. Because if the employee's not going to know if they're lying, neither would the manager.
Most of them are soy.
If you have my point is, if you have prominent box companies selling boxed burgers, veggie burgers, and veggie dogs at the grocery store labeled as veggie, you know, why would A&W be any different, or any other restaurant? Why should they have to follow, you know, if the big guys are all breaking the rules, why, who's to say they all aren't? So I don't trust any of it. Now, it basically means you have to have it tested to even know what's in your food.
Yeah, GMO Project verified, because they say soy is one of the most GMO.
It is. It's soy's like 95% GMO. Like the crops are 95% GMO. So how, if any,
that'd be the trick to find one veggie burger that's GMO
free,
Project Verified. Yeah. Exactly.
GMO. Yeah, but find any soy that's like, how do you know for sure? You have to actually take it in and get it tested. Odds are, if you were to play like a lottery, odds are, like say you were playing Russian roulette with it with an eight shooter, right? But there's seven bullets in the gun and there's only one empty chamber instead of the other way around. That's what you're doing with soy, thinking that you're getting non-GMO soy. You're playing reverse Russian roulette. Most of the soy is GMO. The odds of you getting that empty chamber, I don't know. That's why I stay away from soy and corn because it's like reverse Russian roulette. Most of the gun's loaded. So like they can say non-GMO. I don't know where the heck are they finding these crops at. And yeah, how do I know?
Yeah, because I've shopped in places that have like non-GMO soy or non-GMO this, that, and the other thing. It says on the label. I guess you shouldn't just take the label as truth. But
and it's the same with meats or the veggie fake meats. Is that it's a minced processed product. It's either minced or it's ground, and there's been a process done to it. So you can't recognize the ingredients. You don't recognize ground beef as being what beef really looks like. So how do you know what they mixed in with the ground beef in the patty? Same with the veggie burgers. Same with the veggie dogs or the regular hot dogs. It's a minced weird product. You don't know what's really in it, and you can't take their word for it. So I would, whether you're a vegetarian or a meat eater, I would recommend that people stay away from the minced ground products because you don't know what they're slipping in there. There's no way to tell. When you get a piece of chicken, like a real chicken or a real beef, you know, like that's beef. The only thing you have to worry about is what did they feed the cow or what antibiotics were they jacking up on the cow. But at least you know it actually is meat. Same with the vegetables. Mm. If you're eating regular vegetables, you know, like they didn't fake this carrot, you know. But the veggie burger, you don't really know what's in it. Yeah, there's probably some vegetables in there. There's a bunch of weird seasonings, and there could be some meat, as some of the tests have shown. So, and then you know, so it's really you're just a guessing game when you're eating these processed foods.
Well, yeah, because you look at the meat there, the veggie burger, and it doesn't look like there's any vegetables in it. It just looks like maybe a brownish color, and that's all you know. So you just have to, you know, go from there.
Yeah. Well, you got to pass it before you can see what's in it.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, I got to say, guys, a number of years ago, I was out at a friend's place, and he had he was doing a barbecue, and he had a bunch of the veggie and burgers and dogs, and I can't remember the brand, right? But they were quite tasty. You know, they tasted like meat. I couldn't really tell the difference. It tasted like a decent burger and a decent hot dog. Mm. And he had regular hot dogs and hamburgers there too. He had both. And they both were really tasty. So I guess it's somewhat disheartening to hear about the veggie burgers, some of them being corrupted, right? And I don't want to say that they all are, because that wouldn't be fair to the other manufacturers who aren't cheating. Because I'm sure there are manufacturers that aren't cheating and they aren't adding meat to their veggie burgers.
But I guess they want it to look like meat. That's probably why they call it a veggie burger, but it doesn't look like it.
It could be. Yeah, because with the real meat, it's supposed to be a dark color, but then they put color in it to make it look red, to make it more inviting. That's how they do it.
Right? Oh, because it's
not like that.
Yeah, but they do that with the meat because the meat has gotten too old, and it looks like it's you should have ate it last week. So they make it look red again.
But why did they get customers coming in? Oh, I want my hamburger fresh. And I'm thinking, there's no such thing as a hamburger in here fresh. It's been sitting around for a while. Frozen does not mean fresh. Put it that way. Everything is frozen. All your burgers. Everything is frozen.
They might just mean recently defrosted from the microwave.
Yeah, a lot of them do with the wraps. They just nuke it up with radiation to heat it up. And I said, what are you doing? You're radiating the food. You're taking away all the nutrients, and they're getting nothing.
It's the miracle of science.
Miracle of science. We used to have a microwave, too. There was nothing wrong with it. It worked the way it's supposed to, but we chucked it. We don't want to have anything to do with it. We've got rid of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We don't use it anymore. We never.
Yeah, same here. I got rid of mine as well.
Well, microwave is the fastest way to wreck a meal. You know, it's great. Like, it's they're awful. They don't make anything good. Anything you put in the microwave tastes awful. Even if it was something good, you know, if you cooked it in the oven or on the stove or whatever, tastes great. Cook it in the microwave, tastes awful. Like, what's the point of this thing? Why? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the microwave. I think they're. Sure, it wrecks food really fast. That's all I can say about the microwave.
Well, people throw their coffees in here to heat them up, you know.
Yeah, I don't really reheat my coffee. I'm never really in that position. I make a coffee and it's hot, and then I drink my coffee.
A lot of people don't do that. They just if they're sitting, just they don't drink all their cup of coffee, so they just decide, I'll just throw it in the microwave and heat it up.
Yeah,
but it doesn't taste.
What about fruits? Are there fruits that are or vegetables we've been told that might have been genetically modified?
They're working on them. I don't know if they've hit the market yet. Canada's been working on some GMO apples.
Uh huh.
But if you figure an apple tree's got to be, what, 20, 25 years old before you really start bearing any significant amount of fruit off of the tree, you know, you'd have to really look at it like how, you know, sure, we may have GMO apples, but it may be 20 years before they even hit the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of that, I'm not so sure.
And potatoes, I've heard of GMO potatoes.
Yeah, potatoes, that's like an annual crop. So that would be more a crop that they could go GMO and you could get them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the apples, it's a lot more tricky.
Mm-hmm.
And like any fruit tree, basically any fruit tree where it's like that, you got what, pears, oranges. Sure, they could do a GMO, but it's going to take time before the trees bear fruit. So in that respect, it may not be till 10, 15, 20 years down the road before we even see them on the market. But things like potatoes or tomatoes or, you know, stuff that's an annual crop that doesn't come off like an old tree, yeah, you got to kind of worry about that immediately. How safe is it, or, you know, what are the impacts? Does it mess up the soil? That kind of thing. You know, a lot of these corn crops, just they turn a good farm with rich soil and they just turn it to like completely nutrientless sand, basically. It's almost like sand. It's not sand, but it's such a dry, you know, arid dirt that it almost resembles sand.
Yeah, I remember when we were younger, I think Mark remembers that we went into a field and we started picking corn. And and we took it home and started boiling the thing. And we spent how long does it take to boil corn to make it taste good? About 15 minutes or so or whatever. We kept boiling and boiling and boiling and trying to eat this thing, and it's still hard as rock. And it was, what kind of corn is this? And we found out it was cow's corn that we were trying to eat.
There's another type of corn, right, Mike? The colored one, like a brownish type? I thought it was called Indian corn at one time.
Indian corn, yeah.
That is not real. Is that real corn? Do you know, or was that just a?
I don't think anybody eats that corn at all.
Well,
I haven't seen anybody.
Well, we used to have it, right? We used to have it.
But we didn't cook it. You know, like it's just for decoration, basically.
Yeah.
But like you say, the cow's corn. We just cooked it, tried to boil it and boil it, but it's just still as hard as rock. Just was made for cows, you know.
And then I hear about bananas being GMO, especially the larger size. And then that was before the organic bananas came into the supermarkets. I had heard about GMO bananas, and then I heard a piece somewhere in one of my radio shows that organic bananas would be small in stature, and then all of a sudden they come into the stores and hear the organic and they're small bananas. So
I've seen I don't know. I've seen these little wee bananas. They're maybe maybe 4 inches long, if that. I've seen those. Uh-huh. And then you get the other bananas that are that you don't eat them because they're big. They're quite big. They're bigger than your normal banana. I've seen those in the grocery stores.
What do you mean you don't eat them?
Well, I think I'm not too sure. But probably a decoration, or maybe they just use it for.
Gosh,
it's decoration. Like a coin.
There could be samples.
Well, there are too many there to be a sample. They got them over here, cheap frills. I mean, no frills. They got them there. So, you know, like I think they use them maybe just for flavor-wise, if you go and maybe boil them or something, or just something. But I don't think you eat them. I think I've tried it once, and it doesn't taste the same.
Right, so. Just like these other things that go on in the world, like people growing, you know, the biggest tomato or the biggest pumpkin or something.
Yeah, they
like
had
that.
The biggest turnip at the Royal Winter Fair.
Oh yeah,
in Toronto.
I wonder if GMO was
51 pounds or something. Didn't Justin Trudeau got the biggest turnip award, or was that biggest potato?
Mr. Yeah. Potato Head.
I'm not sure if he got the world's biggest potato or the biggest turnip award.
From the fire department commander.
Well, we have another break.
They're not sure they're going to be able to contain the fire.
Be back on the truthfrequencyradio.com.
Thanks for Beaver Radio.
Maybe
back
the smartest thing to do is pull it. They made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the plan, probably.
Yeah, definitely secondary explosion. But we was inside.
Warning. Warning. The following message will destroy your paradigm. Proceed with caution.
Caution.
The apocalypse is upon us, brothers and sisters. The great revealing is now. The people have spoken and will no longer be manipulated by snake oil salesmen, masquerading as talk networks and alternative media. The new standard is set. This is the line in the sand. Stand with us to fulfill the mission to raise the consciousness of humanity. Stand against us and be exposed by the light we shine. We are TFR, your 100% listener-supported station, and the last bastion of unadulterated truth. Join the media shift by becoming a TFR supporter today, and send a clear message that the mission will not be jeopardized by corporate greed. Together, we will stand as protection from deception.
The Zevites follow a fake messiah. He preaches the opposite of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal becomes thou shall steal. Thou shalt not kill becomes thou shall kill. The Zevites have killed millions. The Great Fire of London was the inferno they deliberately created to honor the crowning of their King Shabbatai, an evil fake messiah crowned in the year 1666.
The Enigma Channel, EnigmaTV.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like listening to podcasts, don't you? Have you ever thought about starting a podcast of your own? If you're a hardcore podcast fan, you probably have, and you've probably got something great to share with the world. I'm Nathan Frazier, and I've created a free online podcasting course for people just like you. Pre-Launch Secrets gives you the top 5 secrets you need to know in order to launch a successful podcast. You'll learn how to create the core concept of your podcast, how to build a solid audience, and how to consistently generate great content for that audience. These are the secrets the pros use when coming up with ideas for their podcasts. And after this course, you'll have them all at your disposal. The course is free. It's taught by me. Enroll today. Go to podcastblastoff.com/course. That's podcastblastoff.com/course. Podcast Blastoff, the future of podcasting.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The Wicked Ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hello, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. And we are the Angry Beavers broadcasting live out of Canada, buddy, friend, guy. And what do we got here? We've got, I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but Canadian pension funds to buy Chicago Skyway Toll Road. This is in from the Globe and Mail. Now, this is interesting. The three of the country's largest pension investors have struck a $2.8 billion U.S. deal to acquire a toll road that links downtown Chicago and its southeastern suburbs in an 88-year agreement. 88 years! Canada Pension Plan Investment Board, CPPIB, Ontario Municipal Employees Retirement System, OMERS, and Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, OTPP, will each contribute $512 million for a one-third stake in Skyway Concession Co. LLC, which owns the asset. Under the agreement, the pension funds will collect tolls paid by drivers and will be responsible for operating and maintenance expenses. Infrastructure investors like toll roads for their ability to generate stable income in different market conditions. Now, the article goes on further down here. It's, you know, it's a long article. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We've already got the gist of what they're doing. Now, let me tell you why this is ridiculously absurd. Sure, yeah, they could make some money, but it's ridiculous to the people of Chicago. Oh, you want to cross this bridge? Oh, pay the Canadian road trolls. There's a troll at the bridge from Kanatistan, and he says you gotta pay for their retirement funds in order to cross this bridge. Why? Because the government and everyone else squandered them. Because they don't have the funds, so they got to find some other way to make money. So they're going to extort you to cross a bridge that your tax dollars already paid for. So what's next? Are we going to have, different toll bridges in Canada? You know,
yeah. Well, that's what would pave the way.
I gotta cross the Australian toll bridge here in Canada, and then make a left onto the American toll bridge, and on then over to the Spanish toll bridge and the Greek toll bridge. I mean, because everyone's retiring, and there is no friggin' pension money to pay these people. It's a bloody Ponzi scheme, so somebody's got to pay for it. So we'll just toll bridge everything. It's ridiculous. So
also coincidentally, they have a provincial study, I think, of turning the HOV lanes into HOT lanes, high occupancy toll lanes.
Toll lanes, right? So they want to take the HOV, which is the carpool lane. Let's just get back to what it is. It's the carpool lane because people don't know. They keep changing the terminology and people are like, what are they talking about? We're talking about the carpool lane and turn the carpool lane into a toll lane. Yeah, it's ridiculous. On a road that they already charged us with, there are roads because they made us pay for it. So they're making us pay for it twice.
So you get a few mannequins, you invested in a few mannequins, and now you're going to have to pay an extra fee to have the mannequins in your car.
Now, here's the thing. There's many, I've heard of libertarians and some anarchists even not really having much of a beef with toll roads in the terms of, okay, well, you know, only the users pay for it. And I can understand that. If you're starting from scratch, okay, we're talking about roads and bridges that were already built using our money. And then they sell that infrastructure for pennies on the dollar to the private sector, and they then jack the prices up on our infrastructure. So that's where it's immoral, and it's a problem, and it is theft. You know, and I don't know how the anarchist or the libertarian would settle that matter, but it's a bit interesting. But I understand how some of them they're for toll roads. But, they're looking at it from a brand new, you know, this company built a road and then charged a toll for it with their own money. Hey, go ahead. And then only the users pay for the maintenance and the upkeep of the road. That makes sense. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about infrastructure and roads that was already built with money that was taken from us. And they took probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 times the amount of money that it actually cost under the excuse of building all these roads and bridges. And now they're selling it for pennies on the dollar to their corporate buddies who are then jacking up, putting tolls on them where there never was ones before. Or if there is tolls now, they're increasing the rates. So it's ridiculous, and it is theft. So, I mean, that's an issue. And especially when it's not even an American company doing it. It's a bunch of Canadian, we got to support a bunch of the Canadian retirees. So we'll just take over America's bridges and charge Americans tolls to pay for our retirement homes. It's ridiculous.
Well, you wouldn't be able to do the same thing in Detroit because Detroit's broke. It's got no money. It looks like a war zone.
No, I know. And how is Chicago any...
Like Canada has to pay for the bridge.
How is Chicago any much better off than Detroit? They're the next Detroit. They're not far off from being the next Detroit.
Well, they're a crime capital, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm not saying that they're going to be the next Detroit, but the trajectory of the economy, if they become as economically depressed as Detroit is now, nobody's going to be crossing that bridge to be going to work back and forth anyway, which means, you know, they'll see their profits go down the tube.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they probably have to use the bridge so they can get out of the people with money have to get out of the city.
Like, imagine if they had invested
in the city. It's a big...
Imagine if they'd invested in a toll bridge in Detroit, you know, 15 years ago. And by now, there's like nobody lives there. It's a ghost town. It's falling apart. Looks like
a ghost bridge, too.
Yeah. So your money's down the tube. Now you're stuck in an 88-year contract in a ghost town. We're fools. We are fools. Your elected representatives are fools. Is Chicago going to be a ghost town in the 88 years? Who knows? We don't know. It didn't take long for Detroit to go belly up, and Chicago's not far from it.
And they're gun-free zone, too.
They're gun-free zone. Murder capital of America is a gun-free zone.
It's true. Unbelievable.
Pension plans are big players, though, in all these financial markets.
I think I should say that again. I think they are the murder capital of North America. Is Chicago.
Yeah, well, there's a place in Mexico or worse, but it's like a big city. It's definitely – it's like 10 times the homicide rate of Toronto.
As far as I know –
the same population.
As far as I know, there was a little while there where Detroit and Mexico City were about – they had pulled ahead, and it was recent. So it's, you know –
yeah.
Once they pull ahead of one of the top Mexican city, that's it. They're the murder capital of the world.
Yeah. And there's the Juarez, too, which is on near El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
On the Mexican side. That's where it's like a war zone, at least in the movie Sicario. But I guess it's supposed to be a fictional film, but it's a hardcore movie. In Juarez. And... The Well, I guess there's violence going on everywhere. That's the scary part.
Well, why don't we just buy up all the bridges in Mexico and put tolls on them?
Yeah. Well, if they got some bridges, I don't know if they got.
That's the new economic model. And what's the joke is, what's the one here? Canadian Pension Plan Investment Board is in on this. Ontario Municipal Employees and Retirement System. And the Teachers Pension Plan. The teachers.
Yeah,
Ontario,
that's another big player in the market.
The Ontario Teachers Pension Plan. So these people are this retarded and economically, you know, deformed and deluded to think that this is a good idea.
Yeah, well, the people that's their pension plan, I don't think they even get to decide where this money goes.
You're
like
finished. Why don't you just invest the money in the side of Niagara Falls? Dump it off of there. I mean, it's got about the same payout.
Well, that could have more because the hydroelectric, you could have some power in there.
Secondly, what country is going to put up with this? You do it to one or two bridges, and they start seeing, hey, they're buying up all the bridges and saying we got to pay them a toll like they're some kind of troll that lives under our bridge. Hey, get back to Canada, buddy, is what they're going to tell us to take a hike.
Yeah, and the sheriff of Nottingham, too.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's absurd. I couldn't believe what I was reading. But and who it's coming from, you know, you'd expect this from some, like, sleazy company, like some used car salesman, you know, retirement investment board or something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd try something ridiculous like this. But coming from these people, you know, it just goes to show you what desperate financial times we must be in for them to be resorting to this.
Yeah. Yeah, they got to put a price on everything, basically. That's what they're doing. Because, you know, in the climate talk or whatever in Paris, it's going to be a carbon tax or something, price on carbon. They're buying bridges. They're probably they could do a sewage tax, too, because they're probably going to have to clean up the river eventually.
Right.
For dumping sewage in the river and
fecal. They could come out with a fecal tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not too many things that don't have a fee or don't have a price anymore, but they're thinking of a few more, I guess.
Go dumping in the St. Lawrence or another river or lake, but yet we can't litter. If we get caught littering instead of putting it in the garbage pail.
If you go to any, if you go to any bus stop or even out here in Mississauga, Ontario, if you go to any bus stop or anything like that with a shelter, it says right on the garbage can, $305 fine for littering. But it's okay for the government to throw our shit in St. Lawrence. I don't know. It smells just as bad as the crap that we're throwing in the river. I think we've been sent up the river without a paddle.
There's some municipalities. I remember one place down at the beach there. It had no smoking on the beach or the grass area or anywhere in the beach area on the city park. And under penalty of $80,000 fine bylaw. Number, I can't remember the bylaw, but it was ridiculous. $80,000. Okay, what is a cigarette butt? It is a piece of paper with some leaf in it. The paper is made out of a tree. Like, are you kidding me? But no, dump, like, flush, you know, all your poo into the river. Now, the amount of 80,000 liters of sewage is probably about 20,000 gallons of, you know, to translate it for those who don't know the metric system, for the Yankees down there, it's about 20,000 gallons. It's just a little bit. And what else do we got? We got, it is estimated that if it was to be running over the edge of Niagara Falls, it would go for about an hour. So that's about the amount.
Well, not so loud. They might hear you, and that may be on their next project.
Well, don't worry. Niagara Falls. It will not go over Niagara Falls yet because it's going out to the ocean and onto the – well, it's most of it's probably just going to end up on the shores, but some will go out into the ocean, I guess. that it mostly will just kind of dissipate into the shore and stick to the sand and rocks and crap like that. That's the nasty part. Like, what they got this idea that, oh, well, it'll just flow right on out to the ocean and dissipate, and no problem, extra nutrients. And it's like, nah, it's on its way out, it's just going to stick to the shoreline all the way out. And by the time it gets to the end of St. Lawrence, there's going to be next to nothing there. We all stuck to the friggin' crappy shoreline. It's awesome.
This is just another Fukushima, that's all.
Well, no, not, it's not on that level. No. No, it isn't.
Oh, no.
It's a low level, yes. A low level.
It isn't that. Like, it's toxic. It's, well, it's right there, but it dissipates. Handle some poo in the you sun.
Hope. I'm just saying,
because there's medical waste, too.
Yeah, it's really the medical. Yeah, like Daniel was saying, medical waste. It's really like pharmaceuticals and that kind of stuff that you really got to worry about, and other medical waste that could be in there. But regular poop and pee, it's not really nice for it. It's not nice for the fish, but things will clean up on its own, and it'll bounce back on its own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Unless we become the mutants. Like, if you are hit with radiation, then you're probably going to have radioactive byproduct in your waste, whatever.
Now, this would be different if it was radioactive fecal matter.
Well, do you hear that Toronto, they did a... they spent $1.5 million on iodine pills. They sent them to all the residents near Darlington, near the Pickering reactor.
Oh, right, out near Pickering there.
Yeah, so yeah. Like in part of Scarborough, I guess.
Oh, so part of Scarborough they sent
some. A few hundred thousand residents, yeah, but they all got pills in the mail.
Right.
Just in case, but I guess, yeah, that'd be...
Well, from what I understand, great. The difference there is if power is cut off, they can still... They can dump water in with no power.
Wait, isn't iodine supposed to be good for your body?
Yeah, so, but it's in case there's a nuclear release. Yeah, right? I think it just saves your kidney for a bit or something.
No, it's your thyroid.
Thyroid, yeah.
Yeah. It's really all it does is it breaks it can block out radioiodine from your thyroid. It can't really do much else. And basically you take it and get out of the you know, evacuate so you're not subjected to it. It's not really going to help too much. And the other thing is, you know, Fukushima, the plant there and the plant at Pickering are different plants. And if power was cut to the one in Pickering, they can just dump the water in. It's gravity fed. You don't need a pump. There's no pump in the emergency, you know, cooling systems. So, you know, it's like a big stack, almost like the ones you see on The Simpsons, right? It's like a big stack with a big... And on the top of that is a big pool of water, right? And in a power outage, and they can the pumps, the backup generators would go down, and the pumps go down, they can just open the doors and let the water in the top pool down to cool. So it has that extra safety feature in it, so it's not... as vulnerable as those plants at Fukushima. Not only that, as far as I know, we don't use MOX fuel in any reactors. So it's not nearly as dangerous.
It's all on water, but then all that water goes into the lake too. That's a tritium water they put through. And threat, I guess, could be a lot greater, though, because there was some medical group had recommended they give to everyone in Toronto should be sent the pills, just in case. I don't know how long they last, though. That's the one other thing.
Yeah, I think that's more of a scam to sell pills, because if something happens, you're not going to stay there.
Yeah, everyone would have to evacuate. Yeah, I guess it was just a huge cloud or something, a big plume, maybe.
You need enough for a day or two to get your stuff together to get the heck out of the irradiated area.
Yeah, that's the scary part of Fukushima, though. A lot of people weren't allowed to, right? They're just all the stuff's left.
Well, left or whatever, but once you're out of the area, you don't need to be taking this stuff. It is damaging.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah, I knew when the whole Fukushima thing happened, people over here were chewing it up like it was candy, and it's like, you're going to end up doing damage to your thyroid doing that. That's not good for you.
Yeah, there is some intense stuff going on with nuclear stuff. That the nuclear proctologist was
arrested.
Yeah, I'm not sure the details of that. I heard that. I didn't know if he was arrested or if it was a civil thing. I don't know. I haven't seen the details, but
in the video he says he was arrested and then charged, and it had something to do with the nuclear observatory or something, the nuclear observation scientists or something filed a complaint against him, I guess, or they called the authorities.
Right.
We'll see, because that guy had been on the show before, so we'll see if.
Well, he was on Canada Live, an old show. I don't.
Oh yeah,
he
it was Canada Live.
Yeah, he was never on Angry Beaver.
Oh, okay.
And as far as I know, when he was on Canada Live, we didn't interview him about Fukushima, and he wasn't known as the nuclear proctologist. As far as
really?
I know, no, he wasn't really into that yet. It was just before that. He was more into, you know, talking about 9/11 or politics or that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Dana Durnford, but it's probably easier to search for nuclear proctologist because that's...
Yeah, you can, but as far as I know, the website went down and a whole bunch of stuff. Now, I wasn't sure if it was a stunt he was pulling or not, but then there was a story in the Globe and Mail about it. So apparently, yeah, there has been something going on with that. And what this man did, Dana Durnford, is over a period of months as he scoured the west coast of Canada in an old Coast Guard boat, an old and, you know, hard-hull inflatable. Not the biggest of boats, but, you know, if you're going to be out there in a small craft, it's good to be safe. And he went up and down the coastline apparently for months. There was tons of footage, pictures. And you could see the amount of life. He'd go in at low tides into all these fjords and islands and stuff and inlets. And he'd go in at low tides and show that there's no life there. It's all gone. And he'd show you the before, like what it normally used to look like. Teeming with starfish and just so many different microorganisms and different vegetation and just, you know, snails and all, just everything. It was just teeming with life, and all of a sudden it's gone. You know, if it's not Fukushima, well, then it's got to be something. There's got to be a reason for it one way or the other. But my point is he did show quite a bit of visual evidence that something's up in the Pacific Ocean on the West Coast there. You know, but I guess he was probably critical of some of these people in the nuclear industry is what I would suspect. And maybe he had some overly harsh words for them and they took it as a threat. I don't know. So that's what it looks like. Like these people, you know, must have took something as a physical threat to their own safety. But, you know, it's Dana Durnford. As far as I know, like he's you know, partially disabled and uses, you know, aids for mobility, you know. So this guy has a hard time getting around anywhere, and he's jumping in a friggin' inflatable, boat. And running around in the Pacific Ocean documenting, you know what I mean? So he's not going to attack anyone. No one has to be worried about their safety when it comes to Dana Durnford attacking them or threat to them.
So, Daniel, did he mention why he was arrested in that video you saw?
I think the charges were something with threatening and... resisting or something. I don't know what was resisting or not threatening, but what is it when you don't leave a place? Maybe something like that. Because I think he might have gone to their office. That might have been what happened, and then they called the cops. And then
trespassing.
Trespass, yeah. That's.
But you get trespassing everywhere you go. If you go along, you know, like when Mark and I were doing some flyering, you know, a bunch of townhomes, is no trespassing. So we're not allowed to go in there to transfer or hand out flyers to anybody because we go on there. That's you know, you're trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not a really big charge and could possibly be beaten easily, especially if it's like his word against theirs kind of deal, and there's no real proof. And especially, you know, you show up, you cause a ruckus, they say, "Oh, get out of here," and eventually you leave. So, you know. They came over after you told me to leave. I left, so I don't know if he trespassed or not. But You know, a lot of times I think he's – I've heard podcasts where he's had some harsh words for some of the folks in the nuclear industry. But again, I wouldn't consider it threatening. But again, but I know who he is. I don't think, you know, I would never imagine Dana to physically ever harm somebody. But you know, exposing them with information and pictures and what's happening to the coastline, I would expect them to do that.
Sure.
But you know, I would never expect Dana to be a violent guy. But you know, all I can say is hopefully he can all this data and footage can get out there some way.
Yeah, because we need it. Because the government and the media is not talking about it, so everything's okay.
Well, according to the Globe and Mail article, it was charged with two counts of criminal harassment. So I guess, yeah, there was no trespass. It was just harassment.
Just harassment. So, well, we'll
see. And then
see.
I guess they had got him YouTube strikes as well. They had some of his videos removed.
That figures.
Violating community guidelines.
Freedom of speech.
Policy, yeah.
Well, that's the part of the problem. Community.
Yeah.
If we weren't part of the community, we wouldn't have these problems. You're under United Nations, Agenda 21.
Well, community guidelines from what? From YouTube or Google?
Yeah, the YouTube community guidelines.
Yeah, so Google, YouTube, whatever, it's the same company. So
yeah.
Their guidelines, you know, it's not regulated by any of our free speech laws. Like even if they honored free speech here, it's, you know, YouTube and Google, it's a private company with their own website. So basically, at the end of the day, they got the say-so of what goes on and off their website, unfortunately. You can't claim free speech on Facebook or YouTube or Google because at the end of the day, that's a private company that owns that website. You know, if Mark Zuckerberg doesn't like your post, he can say, get it off my site. It's his site. So that's the issue with these other, you know, private platforms. But his own site, his own website should be allowed to be back up.
For ourselves,
that shouldn't be an issue. We need that data up there.
A new world order.
Okay, we have another commercial coming up.
Not the law of the jungle.
We'll be right back.
Angry Beaver Radio.
Chris Geo here, founder of Truth Frequency Radio. On November 5th, GFR will be 6 years old. And with every anniversary, this is a time for great reflection. As an avid listener of talk radio myself, I got sick and tired of listening to talk networks that were created for the sole purpose of trying to sell me snake oil. When I found out that the hosts are actually contractually obligated to disguise advertisements in the form of their news stories, I knew that I couldn't trust alternative media any more than the mainstream. That's when I knew I had to build TFR as an ad-free and 100% listener-supported station. My personal promise to you is that when you listen to TFR, you'll always be able to trust what you hear. You can be part of this media paradigm shift right now by becoming a TFR supporter today and letting the corporate-controlled media know that the message is far too important to dilute in hidden advertisements and hidden agendas. Together, we are TFR, your protection from deception.
Hey everyone, this is Jonathan, wingman on Strange World and now a host of my own program here on TFR. If you're listening to this radio station at the moment, chances are you're in search of the truth. You're also the kind of person who thinks outside the box, would ask questions that others feared asking, and therefore are not afraid of where seeking that truth may take you. If this sounds like you, then you might want to tune into Perceptions Talk Radio, broadcasting live every Thursday evening, 12 to 2 a.m. Eastern, 9 to 11 Pacific, here on Truth Frequency Radio. Perceptions Talk Radio is for those with open minds, as well as open hearts, and without judgment or criticism. That said, everyone is welcome to share their own personal truth and beliefs, but please understand that it might not be readily accepted by everyone in the listening audience. If there's a topic you want me to cover, or a guest you would like to hear me interview, you can message me at perceptionstalkradio@gmail.com. So please join us and tell your friends about Truth Frequency Radio, the leader in real radio programming, bringing you quality cutting-edge broadcasts from around this flat earth.
Visualize an infinite hologram of unconditional love above your head. This is a holographic sphere with the flower of life pattern infinitely expanding inwardly to
to infinity.
The all-new Sacred Geometry Shop has arrived, featuring eight of the world's most renowned sacred geometry and visionary artists. The mission of SGS is to embed sacred geometry art, frequencies, and equations into all conventional products in order to raise the vibration and help heal one's own individual life. Products include art, canvas prints, skateboards, Galaxy and iPhone cases, clothing, hats, jewelry, home decor, yoga mats, and a new sacred geometry skincare line. Enter the word Starseed for an additional 25% discount. Log on today to SacredGeometryShop.com and feel the vibration.
Freaky Friday with the Woo Crew. Fridays on Truth Frequency Radio.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order, and instead it looks like we got a lot of disorder. We still, and after 9/11, we've been more sensitive to the.
So we have to shape an international order that can meet the challenges of our generation.
Hello, welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network, truthfrequencyradio.com. And we are broadcasting live from Globalist Kanatistan, eh? And I dropped a link in the chat there, guys, from the National Post. Trudeau plans to follow through with plan to withdraw warplanes and resettle 25,000 Syrian refugees. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau plans to follow through with his commitment to withdraw Canadian warplanes from Iraq and Syria and to resettle 25,000 Syrian refugees, despite Friday's terrorist attacks in Paris. Trudeau arrived in Turkey under dark clouds on Saturday as the Paris attacks and the question of how to respond overshadowed his first appearance on the world stage as Canada's Prime Minister. Islamic State claimed credit for the brazen attacks, which killed at least 120 and left many more injured. French President Francois Hollande has declared the attacks an act of war, while other leaders, even as British Prime Minister David Cameron and U.S. President Barack Obama, promised to continue standing shoulder to shoulder with France in the fight against ISIL. Trudeau has refused since winning last month's election to say when the fighter jets would return home, saying only that the withdrawal would be done responsibly. He also wouldn't say before leaving for the G20 summit on Friday whether he was reconsidering that plan entirely. We'll continue to engage with our fellow allies around the world in ensuring the safety of Canadians and others both here and at home and around the world, he said before boarding a plane to Turkey. We will keep people apprised as more unfolds.
Yeah, you'd think it'd have to be a big police state over in Turkey because G20 is always a police state.
Turkey is like the exporter of ISIS, the home of ISIS. Where is ISIS hiding? They're bombing the crap out of Iraq and Syria. They're not there. They're in Turkey. Turkey's been providing ground support for ISIS the entire time, blowing up Kurdish military. It's ridiculous, right? So now he's going to Turkey. Oh, don't worry, we're gonna keep bringing our planes home, and we're gonna take all your terrorists over to Canada so they can do what they did to France. This guy's a joke, a globalist puppet stooge, and this is the plan. And I can't believe Canadians voted for this guy in, like, you know, they're all criminal stooges, but, you know, why I'm surprised, why would anyone go up and vote for any of these people? It's ridiculous.
Well, there's only like 6 weeks left. So 25,000, that's like 4,000 a week, I guess. 4,000.
But don't you have to register these people when they come across? Are they just going to let them come in and deal with that later?
Yeah, well, they could be just moving the ones maybe that have already been registered in France because they got to remove them from France now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Or they'll just get a few from everywhere, but they're going to be going to Montreal, Toronto, and Edmonton. Oh, yeah, that was the headline.
Well, where are they going to stay?
Most will be bound for Montreal. They're talking about doing a military base, actually.
Just put them on one of those abandoned Aleutian Islands up in Alaska, and we'll call it ISIS-stralia. Stick them all there. I don't know. It's just retarded to let them into your own country. It's ridiculous. Like, after what just happened in Paris, and I hate to say we told you so, but we told you so. We said that you're going to blow the crap out of these people's countries and then let them into your country and expect no attacks to happen, and then attacks happen. And now Trudeau, you know, we need 25,000 more.
Yeah, it's a growth industry. That's why we could get the teacher's pension plan and the Canadian pension plan to invest in a refugee camp.
Maybe if we import enough ISIS soldiers from Turkey, maybe Turkey will buy some of our failing and fledging Bombardier aircraft. I don't know.
Yeah, and a few subways, smart tracks subways.
Some smart tracks.
Maybe, they can pilot our F-18s or something.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
No, it's totally ridiculous. You say after this whole thing that's happened in Paris, then you're leaving your borders and even everything open for more. You watch. I guarantee you, I don't know if I should guarantee you that something may happen, but something may happen here, you know.
What about taxpayers? Will we have to pay for them to have their free, you know, shelter?
Well, of course. We have to do that. We're that kind of a nation.
Well, what's funny here is all the other, you know, left-wing globalist puppet leaders are now, you know, they're now saying, oh, we got to shut the borders down. They're all freaking out. All the ones over in Europe, they're all starting to flip out now over this Paris attack. But Justin Trudeau, no, he's still running around full potato. Let them in. We need 25,000. Why not bring 25?
Yeah,
million in.
Yeah, because 25,000 is like that's like one day in some of the other countries.
Yeah,
one's closer to Turkey.
But if this turns out to be a real terrorist attack or whatever, wouldn't you shut your borders down?
Well, that France did after.
Yeah, after. Yeah, but that's after. We should be doing that now.
Yeah.
But we're not doing it.
If they did it beforehand, then the attacks wouldn't happen and we wouldn't have all this reason to give them more power.
Exactly.
But, yeah, all I know is it's ridiculous. The whole thing.
Greece and Italy refugees arrive by boat, but wouldn't they have to fly them to Canada?
Yeah, they're going to have to fly 25,000 people to Canada.
Well, do you think they're going to put them in a boat to going up to St. Lawrence? Forget it. Come on. Hey.
Come on, we have lakes, you know, too. Not just them.
They arrive within 6 weeks, maybe. Yeah, maybe it might be a 6 week voyage.
They should send them in a boat up the St. Lawrence.
They could arrive by the end of the year in a big ship.
Give them a warm brown welcoming. That would be weird, wouldn't it? If they did show up in a boat up the St. Lawrence, and they're going up the St. Lawrence as
symbolic,
just as 80,000 liters of Montreal fecal matter is going down the St. Lawrence, and they got to pass each other, and they got, you know, a few miles of turd to go through. That's going to be they're just going to go home. That's all I can say. They're just going to say, forget it, go home, turn this boat around anywhere but here.
They'd pass the Mother Canada statue too on the way in.
So I mean, Montreal might be onto something in terms of a national defense type of program. Yeah, and you know, all those Gulf states may think of taking this up. You know, you pump your turds right out into the Gulf of Mexico. These people aren't going to try to show up on their homemade boats and a bunch of fecal turd waves hitting them in the face. They're not going to want to do it.
Now we know Donald Trump's plan for the wall, too. He could stack it up.
Of course, if they're leaving from Rio, they're used to it, right? You know, if you got immigrants leaving from Rio in their homemade junk boat, there's so much fecal matter in the waters there, they're used to it. They'd just be like, oh, home sweet home. So I don't know.
If the refugees' hands get cold while they're going up to St. Lawrence, just grab one of, or a couple of turds, put them in your pocket, use them as hand warmers. keep your hands warm on your trip up to St. Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about joining the Montreal Rowing Club.
Row, row, row your turd up on the street. Oh, Jesus, it's ridiculous.
Well, you can probably fish in it still as long as you have a permit, the proper permit.
Do polar bears have a permit to fish? No.
I could see it. There's a guy, there's some guy fishing in the St. Lawrence in the turd, right? And he's just a stupid idiot. He's out there fishing in the turd. And he's and then the guy from the Ministry of Natural Resources shows up in the turd in his boat, and he pulls him over, and he starts checking his safety. You got a life jacket and a flashlight and a whistle, bud? And how about a license for fishing? You got a license to fish? You got a license to... Well, you got a license to fish, but you don't. It doesn't say to fish and turd, so we're giving you a ticket, bud. It's ridiculous. I can already see it happening. There's going to be ministry guys fining people for fishing without a license in the turd wave, and that's it. And that's a state of affairs that we're in.
Yeah.
Pretty sad.
It is.
It's funny.
Now, what if it freezes? Like, what if it gets cold and it freezes? And then people are skating on this in the wintertime.
And they skate and trip over a turd that's frozen in the ice.
It's a brown, it could be a brown skating rink on the St. Lawrence River. I mean,
it's got to get really cold for it to completely freeze. But we are heading into global cooling, so.
Well, I got to be honest, I haven't navigated the St. Lawrence, so I'm not familiar with them thar waters. I'm only familiar with the Great Lakes system.
It probably gets top layer, but it moves fast, I think. There's part of it.
Right.
Part of it's our rapids.
Yeah, I would imagine that some of it is. But I guess maybe where it gets a little wider, it might slow down a bit. I don't know.
Because
it is pretty wide. I mean, it gets really wide.
Yeah, that's why they're probably dumping it in the slower part, so it's more like the lazy river.
No, oh, this is the other thing. Are they just, is it just pumping out of a tube? Is it like, is it a big pipe that's just pumping it into it, or are they taking boats and dumping it?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think there's a few pipes that enter that dump it through, but you see the actual mayor of Montreal go down on a, like they lowered him down on a crane into the sewer where they're pumping it from. He's dressed in a full, like, hazmat suit with a hard hat on.
Hazmat and a hard hat. Everything's fine. Oh, it's all good. Everything's clean and ship-shape here. Nothing. We're not doing anything wrong. This is normal. Everybody does it. That was one of the other excuses they had. Well, everyone does it, and it's nothing wrong with it. And
he gave a thumbs up, but he's got a light on his hard hat, so he looks like the Minion, because it's like one big lens on the
yeah. Thing is not everybody does this, okay? Like, we don't do this. No, we don't dump our feces in the river, in the lake. It's when people don't do this. So this excuse to, well, everybody does it. No, it has happened a couple of times by accident, but in the general sense, no. So I don't know why you would do it on purpose.
Well, authorities said they were testing the water to see if it was safe enough.
Safe enough to what? To dump poo into?
No, after the fact.
Oh,
they
after?
Yeah, they said they were going to test the water after the dumpage.
Well, why? It doesn't matter. You've already dumped it. So say it's not safe. Then what do you do? It's too late now.
Yeah, you know, no, that's another scary part. That's when they start dumping the core exit in, isn't it?
Don't worry, we'll test it after to make sure it's safe. Well, it's ridiculous. Don't worry, I'll check on the guy after we shoot 100,000 bullets into him to see if he's alive. Are you okay, bud? Oh, he's not okay, turns out. Yeah, that new vest, it's not bulletproof. Should have used a ballistics dummy, I guess. You know, it's, yeah, that kind of after the fact testing. So if it is too toxic, then there's nothing you can do about it. You already dumped it all in. I don't know. So anyways, guys, what else do we got on the docket to talk about here.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to mention all the news is talking about the terror attacks, so you know.
Yeah, it's all terror attacks. Oh, what else do we have this week? We had the big PC police on campus down in the States.
Oh, yeah, Mizzou or something.
They were still going on. One was still going on about the Halloween nonsense, and then the other one was about something about a turd swastika. Or somebody drew a swastika with turd, or they made a swastika out of turds. I don't know what the deal was. We've seen no proof of this supposed turd swastika. But, so now we've got all these faculty members stepping down and they're trying to ban free speech on campus in favor of safe spaces. So I don't know. This whole safe space thing, it's like, you know, anyone that says something that could be offensive to somebody else, well, then, you know, that's, you can't say that anymore. It has to be a safe space. So you either have safe spaces or you have free speech. You can't have both. So a safe space is like, you know, it's like a two-year-old, a room for a two-year-old to sit in a closet and suck their thumb and be protected from anything in the outside real world. And we want, Yale University students want safe spaces. This is supposedly an Ivy League school that are churning out mentally retarded morons. And I'm saying that literally. I'm not trying to be name-calling. These people are brainwashed, mentally retarded morons who've been robbed for their tuition because what they've been turned into is a bunch of two-year-olds demanding safe spaces. It's ridiculous. And it's not just happening in America. It's happening all over the world with this political correct nonsense. Yeah, I don't respect safe spaces. You tell me it's a safe space, that's the go-ahead to go all out full free speech on you in your safe space zone. And I'm going to use the most offensive free speech I can think of at the time. But I don't know.
That is another example of the head of the university resigned too. So you think that the president of France should have to resign after?
Yeah, he should have to resign.
Terror attack.
Well, I think he should resign in terms because I'm pretty sure they left the border open and then this attack happened. So that's why I think he should just resign. Not because it's a safe space policy. It's because the government knows about national security and they know how to run it. And for them to go off the beaten path and just let's open the borders to the terrorists. Well, that's retarded. And whoever decided to do that or to let that happen should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind step down. No, they should be fired. Should be no talk of step down. It's not.
Yeah, because they're not going to do that.
Yeah, but that's not an option on the table. You do something at work that bad, you're fired. Right? Like Donald Trump says, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fired. And that's what would happen. You screw up that bad at a private business, you're fired. There's no, I really screwed up, so I'm just going to step down and resign because for – you know, my pride and, you know, try to save face. No, they won't even give you that option. You'd just be fired before you even have the time to say a word or an excuse of why you screwed up so bad. So everyone running national security in France and the government responsible should be fired. Pension gone.
Yes, that's what I was just going to mention. If they step down, meaning they will step down from the job, but they'll keep their pension.
Yeah, no.
We don't want that. No, we don't want that.
Pension gone. Your grounds for dismissal is, you know, this is you're fired. So, you know, maybe we should have some of the private sector type of standards when it comes to the public sector employees. Because they work for us. And that's whether it's the politician or the bloody garbage man or the postman. You're sucking off our tit saying that, you know, we need you. And we're your meal ticket. Well, you know, you're going to have to answer for your paycheck here. But, yeah, they should be fired because it's negligence. And it's the same thing in most of the NATO countries. We've got the same thing going on. Wide open borders. Our national security agencies know the risk. They know this is against traditional standard protocol. And now we've introduced an unnecessary risk into the country. And when something goes wrong – And if somebody gets hurt, people need to be fired. This never should have happened in the first place. It's not an issue of stepping down or resigning. They need to be fired. They need their pensions gone. And in some cases, possibly criminal charges could be laid.
But then they're just going to put another puppet leader in there.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's not just an issue of incompetency. This has all been done on purpose. The average, say, you know, typical traditional conservative is looking at this like, well, this is really messed, but they look at it more, it's got to be incompetence. The government would never purposely do this.
Oh,
that's where we kind of defer, and we're kind of the more conspiracy theorist type, where we say, no, they're doing a damn fine job at doing this on purpose. So we're in far worse danger than the traditional conservatives think we are, if we're right, because this is being done on purpose, folks. Everything's going according to plan here. And that's the problem.
And if, like we said before, if Justin Trudeau is going along with keeping our borders open, bringing these people over here, and if something does happen, I believe he should be fired.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, the Pope also mentioned it's a Third World War, the attack in France.
A Third World War against who? ISIS?
I guess.
A bunch of donkey rapists?
Or just against civilians, I guess. Maybe that's what the war is. It's going to be attacks on civilians.
Well, that's the whole idea. We're the target.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Pope had made the call for the original Friday the 13th, where they rounded up the Templars. So it's another coincidence. That's why they go to the Pope for a message. I guess all the world leaders, though, have already gone on, have done a message. Even Trudeau was on.
Right.
That night.
Because the Pope is part of the Knights Templar.
Yeah. Yeah, he had originally sent them, but then I guess he claimed that they had gone to more even more demonic than they were,
mm-hmm.
than the Vatican, because all this Baphomet worship and stuff.
Yep.
It was Jacques de Molay, who they still have as one of the secret society for youth, as the de Molay Society.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was the one, was it William Cooper was one when he was a kid? He writes about that in Behold the Pale Horse, which is pretty much becoming true, like all any predictions in there. So they haven't done gun confiscation totally yet, but even that is apparently in Trudeau's agenda.
Right.
Gun control.
Of course. He's got to do what he's told. You know, why are we blaming Trudeau, though? Because he's only a puppet. You know, can puppets be arrested? Can puppets, you know, lose their jobs, you know? We're blaming the wrong people.
Yeah, he's just a globalist operative.
Yeah.
Just like his supposed counterparts in the Conservative or NDP party. And that's what the general public doesn't get. They get into these camps of Conservative or Liberal or NDP, the New Democratic Party. And they think that that there's a difference.
Uh-huh.
So they may not like what the last party did in office, and they're like, well, we'll get these guys in, and they'll change it around. They're not different. They work for the same interests.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we're in a hamster wheel. We're in a rut. We're just spinning our wheels going nowhere with this because, you know, the public doesn't get it.
That's true.
And Trudeau has also got on the agenda to meet the Queen, though, so he does have to meet his boss.
He's got to go meet the boss. Well, I heard there was talks of them getting rid of her face on the money.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. And they had removed her from a few of the offices. That's why I wonder if they had gone above Trudeau's behind Trudeau's back for that, or if he had okayed it. They removed her portrait from the foreign affairs.
If I recall correctly, a couple of years ago, I believe it was, in Australia, there was some politicians charged with treason by the Crown.
Oh.
So they may want to watch what they're doing there.
Yeah, that's rare.
Canada's not a sovereign nation.
No, but Trudeau has said Quebec is a nation when he was younger.
Yeah, and he said Canada's not a nation and borderless and all this. And then he wants to run for prime minister of a country that he says doesn't really exist. Like, how does that even make sense? He's a retard. He's a potato head. So it's just, I don't know. So here's the issue is that Canada is still a colony of the crown. Our politicians are sworn to the crown. And same with Australia. And they've told the people that, no, you're a sovereign nation and blah, blah, blah. But on paper, no, we're still subservient to them. That's why when Stephen Harper prorogued Parliament, he had to go to the Queen. Ultimately, yeah. He had needed permission from the Queen to do it, from the Crown. Now, Australia is pretty much the exact same as Canada in the way it operates and Crown land and these kind of things. So a couple of years ago, there was Australian politicians obviously doing things that were against the crown, in violation of the crown and to their oath of office to the crown, and they were charged with treason. They were arrested. Does Justin Trudeau want to go down this road? It's up to him. Personally, I don't care about being a crown corporation or having the Queen's face on my money or any of this stuff. Actually, on those issues, I kind of agree with him. But there's probably a different route to go. I'm just saying it's a dangerous territory that the Liberal Party could be heading into in terms of this getting the Queen out of our government. If they do it in this manner, it could backfire on them.
Well, they've actually – I think they've actually started. If you look at any of our Canadian coin from 2003, she's not even wearing the crown anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. I've heard that.
They've started that already.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll see what happens. It's interesting, but I wouldn't test the waters because if you look at what the Australians went through,
yeah,
a lot of them ended up in handcuffs and behind bars. So
I was just looking at the new 20. There's a 20 that they made for 2015, and it actually says longest reign. In the hologram, it's got the queen with the crown, but then the actual picture on it, like the one you see all the time, is her without the crown.
The royal Reich.
The law of the jungle.
Well, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Rundown Live with Mike and Kristen, Waking Up the Masses with Robert Bruce, The Covert Report with Susan Lindauer, Your DIY Health with Jim Ram, Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye, The Christopher Everard Show, Real Politics with Professor James Tracy, Agent for Truth with Joe Bannister, and dozens more. Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
And now it's time for comments from our listeners.
Mike writes, "So, what do you do? I have listened to the show enough to believe the majority of what is stated, but still, what movements do you support? What actions have you set in motion aside from the enlightening of the masses? I never seem to find any action to put these words into effect. So what say you? A program meant to incite the masses to rise against their tyrannical masters? Or just a venue for you guys to scratch a living off of?" Dear Mike, it looks like you've busted us. Our day jobs are really just a front, just to cover up the fact that we make so much money off of doing what we do, that every single one of the hosts on the station has a full-time job, just to cover up the fact that they're making so much money doing this. It always has been, and always will be, all about the Benjamins.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to